Dragon's Dogma 2, the highly anticipated successor to the cult classic Dragon's Dogma, is out now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X and S, and Steam. Dragon's Dogma 2 is a third-person action RPG boasting a richly detailed and deeply explorable fantasy world created using Capcom's RE engines, immersive graphics, groundbreaking character AI systems, and cutting-edge graphics. Dive into the vast and dynamic world where the Arisen is called upon to fulfill a forgotten destiny across the nations of Vermund, the Kingdom of Humanity, and Batal, the nation of Beastrin. Dragon's Dogma 2 revolves entirely around choice. Your choice, that is. From the sword and shield wielding fighter to the illusion conjuring trickster, there are over 10 unique vocations to choose from that all require experience to unlock new skills. And character customization is out of this world. Literally. Oh, and did I mention that the combat is really in-depth? It isn't just hacking at a giant's ankle for half an hour while you dodge roll attacks. You can engage enemies from a distance, climb up large foes, stab them in their weak points, use the terrain and trick, trip, or throw foes off high cliffs and raging waters. So visit DragonsDogma.com to buy the game and start your epic quest today. That's DragonsDogma.com to learn more.
Wow.
So crazy.
So crazy.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Drunk Tank.
How crazy is it, Gus? How crazy, crazy.
Crazy is it, Gus?
Gus.
Jeff.
Bernie.
Joel Heyman.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was really good. Good.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Drunk Tank.
That was fantastic.
Sounds like a young Timbaland.
Yeah, you got a little chop and screwed action going there.
That was the lesson I learned from that song is I'm never going to say my whole name again because it's not quite as cool, not quite as effective.
Well, since you said that, I think we actually should introduce ourselves. I think we haven't introduced ourselves the last couple of podcasts, and it may get confusing for people.
Wait, who did the song?
The person who's talking about WoW is Gus.
That was DJ Felix.
DJ Felix.
That's awesome. Is he on our site?
I wonder if he's a licensed DJ.
Is that the username on our site?
I don't know. That's what he wrote on his email.
That he write.
He gets an award for sure.
DJ Felix on the ones and twos.
How did he
ones and zeros.
How do you spell Felix?
The normal way, not the internet way.
Oh, okay.
I'm really surprised.
So it's not PH?
No. There's no three instead of an E.
PHEELIX. Felix.
Yeah, we got it the first time, Jack.
You like it?
Yeah. It's a podcast. I'm Gus.
It's not a spelling bee. I'm Jeff.
I'm Joel.
I'm Jack.
How you doing, Jack?
I'm good, man.
I haven't seen you since the other day at the airport in Chicago.
Yeah, since the
Jack. Jack has this amazing ability, and this happened to me. I was one time in Las Vegas taking a flight from Vegas to Seattle, and then all of a sudden, bam! There's Jack out of nowhere, and he's like, "Hey, I'm sitting next to you on the flight." It's like what? And there he was. And this happened again.
So I was up in Montreal checking out Army of Two. EA brought me up there to check out some stuff for Achievement Hunter. And I was flying back, and I knew Joel and Gus were out in Canada somewhere doing some work. And sure enough,
three of us were, of course, in Chicago, which makes no
sense. Yeah, and so flying back on Saturday, I knew these guys were coming back on Sunday. And so flying back on Saturday, I'm landing in O'Hare Airport up in Chicago, and I turn on my phone. The first thing that pops up is a notification. Gus has checked in a Chicago O'Hare International Airport.
A Foursquare notification.
And I was like, and it was from 8 minutes ago. And I was like, what the hell? And so I checked in too, and then I called Gus. I'm like, are you in the airport? And he was like, sure enough.
So not only were we at the airport at the same time, but we landed at about the exact same time. Because I checked in like the second we landed.
And you guys ended up on the same flight back to Austin, right?
Yeah.
And it's fucking awesome.
Which is wild.
Of course, Joel and I rode up in the front of the plane.
That's true.
Oh, were you guys in first class?
Yeah, we were in the big boy seats. And nice. Jack
I was trying to get his seat number out of him because I was going to like send him back drinks and cookies and stuff or whatever, but he wasn't going to give me his seat number.
I gave you my seat number.
No.
Did you guys
give me any alcohol?
I'm trying to get a feel for this. Did you guys upgrade to first class or was that a part of the deal?
You know, the pilot came out and said, You too. You got it.
We were called up to the majors. No, we upgraded. It was nice. Upgrade points.
Oh, okay. Cool.
And I think I have like 13 amassed right now.
Wow.
It's always worth it.
Yeah, but it was pretty cool. But at the same time, that flight back was so painful because we sat in a little restaurant in the Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Little restaurant called Chili's To Go.
This is the great. we got to give props to Foursquare because as a direct result from Foursquare, Jack was able to get a seat at a restaurant at the airport where we could watch college football.
Yeah. Apparently it was a big college football day, and everyone like all the TVs were like. You know, people were surrounding them because it was Florida, Alabama. Then as soon as that was over, it was Texas, Nebraska.
Yeah. And so we landed probably, what do you say, about the fourth quarter of the Florida, Alabama game on. And so I told these guys to meet me at this little restaurant, and we watched the end of the Florida, Alabama game. And the problem was we watched the first maybe quarter of the Texas-Nebraska game, and we had to leave where we were sitting, go to our plane, and Texas was down 6-0. And the last tweet I read before I had to shut off my phone for the airplane was Harry from Ain't It Cool saying, Colt McCoy just got sacked, looks like he's injured. That was the last thing I read before a three-hour flight, completely lost communication. It was horrible.
And also, when we were watching the game there at the restaurant in Chicago, I didn't realize how close we were to Nebraska because everyone there was a Nebraska fan.
Yeah, time anything bad would happen, Texas would be a clap, 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 like a golf clap.
No, that was definitely people who were anti-UT fans.
That was the thing. It was so funny that Jack was able to ascertain based on the clapping cadence that they weren't rooting for Nebraska. They were rooting against Texas. And he was right because there was that one play where the Texas receiver dropped the ball, nothing, nothing, nothing. Then the Nebraska defensive back smacks the Texas receiver really hard, then clapping, clapping.
Why
clapping.
Do you think that is? Do you think you guys are becoming the Yankees of college football?
I hope not.
Please, come on.
I'm just asking. I mean, why are they anti-UT?
There's no Yankees of any. There's only one evil empire.
I don't see how that comparison's apt at all.
Yeah, I think what happened.
You guys are saying they weren't for Nebraska. They were just anti-UT.
Well, I think what happened was Texas. People think Texas got here undeservedly. Because we didn't really play any solid, really tough teams. Yeah, we're undefeated, but so is Boise State. So is, TCU. Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's true. We did not, our schedule should have been harder. But we did face like four teams in the top 20, right?
Yeah, but those teams are like Oklahoma, who's now,
At the time UT played them. Now, I think, now that the season's over, I think there only turned out to be one team in their schedule
in
the top 25.
Well, that's because we crushed their soul.
That's true.
If they hadn't faced us.
Because you guys knocked them out, right?
Yeah, totally. Well, we killed Bradford for the year. That sounded we knocked out Bradford for the year,
and DeMarco Murray.
But I gotta say, seeing Tim Tebow go down was kind of good.
So yeah, it's going to be an awkward first week of January.
It's going to be really weird.
Any way you look at it, because it's either going to be an Alabama or a Texas win, and
I am
awkward for Jeff.
I am the lone Alabama fan in the office, being from Alabama, and the rest of you, with the exception of Gus, who dropped out of college. The rest of you all went to UT.
Yeah, we actually all graduated.
And graduated from UT. So it's me versus the entire office.
You didn't actually go to Alabama, right? Have you stepped on the campus at all or anything?
Yeah, I've been to the campus.
Okay.
I didn't go to college. I didn't go to college anywhere.
The police
we
car
established that.
There was a road closed, and the police car had to take him through the Alabama campus to get to the station.
We were sitting there watching the Florida-Alabama game, and at one point Jack goes, "Hey, look, Tebow has the score of the game on his, what are those things?
Under his eyes. John 1333 or whatever?
1332, yeah. I think is what it said.
It said 1633.
1633.
Which was almost the score, which I thought was the funniest thing
in the
world.
Yeah.
But you know what we should do as an exercise for homework for podcast people is they should look up the score of the Florida-Alabama game and then find the Bible quote that goes with that.
Yeah.
See what that says.
Have you seen the video on College Humor of the Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow, Tim Tebow thing?
Yeah.
It's just someone took the Florida State game and pulled every reference to Tim Tebow, just his name, and it's like a 7-minute long video of the announcers talking about Tim Tebow.
I didn't hate Tim Tebow as much until after you keep telling the story again and again.
It's like
I'm saying that aloud so like Gus has the length of it.
It's like the Big Lebowski fuck video.
Yeah, basically.
Essentially, yeah. Anyway, and enough of Tim Tebow. You're just contributing to it by talking about him.
Did you see the linebacker holding his head ever so gently?
I'm starting to think that you might be a little in love
man,
with Tim
man
Tebow.
Crush.
Totally.
Man crush.
Yeah, the
for
whole
somebody
time,
who likes to talk shit about him, you sure bring him up a lot.
The whole time we were watching the game at the Chicago restaurant, Jack kept very loudly talking shit about Tim Tebow. He was like, "Oh, look at him. He's crying. What a baby.
God, and also look at his ass." That was what Jack
He has pretty eyes. What can I say?
And he's probably going to make a lot of money, too. So.
Yeah. Well,
so, is this the most uninterrupted sports talk we've ever had on the podcast?
I don't know. We had one a couple weeks ago where we talked about sports for a while.
Yeah. Quite possibly.
I don't think there's necessarily a lot of sports fans that listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think it's great that we started with an 8-minute segment about sports. Yeah.
Well, okay, so Texas and Alabama are playing the national championship game, and so there's not going to be any bet between you and Bernie or anyone else in the office?
No.
No?
No. It's a no-win situation for me. I'm trying to avoid
it. You can't do like the crappy college bet where it's if our team loses, we plant a tree in your lawn
I can feel it right now, a disturbance in the force. If Bernie is listening to this podcast, he's pulling his hair out right now.
Listen, I don't follow that shit as closely as you guys do. And so ultimately, I don't really care. I'm just happy that Alabama made it to the national championship.
You guys are probably going to be favored, right?
They're definitely heavily favored.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody saw the game Saturday, right?
Ingram.
I don't think it's heavily. I think it's actually a 4-point spread.
I'm just going to shout out names of players.
They go for it. McElroy. Alabama loses, and then you guys are going to be smug for fucking ever. Not why I would really care. Or, you know, more probably, Alabama wins, and then you guys are just bitter. Gus won't be a dick. Gus is cool. I won't be able to be in the same room with Bernie.
There'll be like one play. I can see into the future. It's gonna be and he dropped the ball and the ref said that and the ref was completely wrong. Jeff will beat you.
There'll be a bad ref call and Alabama will win and somehow that ref call will be my fault for 2 months.
It will be.
I just hope it's a good game.
Oh God, did you guys hear about the? Did you guys see the 60 Minutes thing about the NBA ref?
No, you told us about.
No, what was going on?
Everything is fixed, apparently.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know. That's the bottom line.
Everything
it's
in the
all
NBA
fixed.
Is fixed.
It's all fixed.
Come on, elaborate, Joel. You can't just say, hey, did you see that 60 Minutes thing?
Well, yeah. I'll just I'm worried that I'm keeping the sports talk going too long.
No, go.
Well, he was an NBA ref, right? And he it turns out he got 80% of the game. He bet on games in Vegas, and like 80% of the games he got right. And the reason why he knew that is because he understood certain relationships between refs and players. Like, he knew certain mm-hmm. refs, like, hated certain players.
Yeah.
And, like, based on that, he would bet the money.
I thought maybe he was betting on games he was officiating.
He did that as well.
That was sort of the downfall of it, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if he'd never bet on games he officiated, do you think it'd be nearly as big of a deal?
No.
Yeah.
It should be, though.
Yeah,
it should be a big deal. I mean, if you're associated with anything in any way and you're betting on like Pete Rose, you cannot do that. It destroys the integrity of it.
Yeah, it's like that year I bet at the Machinima Film Festival. Man, that did not go well.
Did you bet on Jeff bombing a joke?
Dude, that joke was awesome.
The ref totally made the wrong call on that joke.
That joke was fucking brilliant.
You sent me that clip forever ago, and it's just the most painful thing.
That's one of my painful for you, maybe. It wasn't painful for me. Fucking mic cut out. I didn't care.
So so how was your trip to Montreal, Jack? How was Army of Two?
It was really nice. Army of Two is really, really cool. We got to play some multiplayer modes, all the different multiplayer modes, and talk to the producer and stuff. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. The game itself feels a lot better than the first one. The first one felt kind of light. I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but, like, the characters in it feel mm-hmm. like they had weight to them, like when you hit something. I don't know. But that's a lot of that stuff's been fixed. The game looks a lot better than it did the first time.
So what kind of multiplayer modes are there? Like, what did you play?
There's four different ones. There's one called Extraction, which is basically, like, the Horde mode of Army of Two. But, so it's four players, which is kind of cool. And the thing is, in their version of like the Horde mode Extraction, you're surrounded by enemy spawn points, so they can be coming from anywhere. So there's like no place you can go, like crouch behind and hide and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of fun, and it's a lot of teamwork you have to do to keep everyone alive. There's your traditional like co-op deathmatch. They have one called Warzone, which is a bunch of different like collect enemy intel or defend this area, and it's points based. And there was one more, which I can't for the life of me remember right now. But they're all really fun, and we had a good time up there.
So is like Horde mode like a new standard in multiplayer
apparently
modes you get with FPS games?
I wonder if Gears will get the credit for that going forward.
Well, the fact we're calling it Horde mode, that's sort of they've coined the vernacular for it. So.
Yeah.
Coin the vernacular. I'm sorry, Mr. Webster. I didn't realize you were gracing us with your presence today.
Dude, well, you're never going to win.
Well, I know. I try to be smart. And
they made the words that we use. Coin the vernacular. They were gleaming the cube as that, well.
To use the parlance of our times.
that was a correct term, right?
No, it was, asshole. It was right. You were right.
Gleaming
I cannot
the cube.
Fucking win. Gotta get on my skateboard.
Do you have the fucking white spider skateboard?
I'm gonna go pump up the volume afterwards.
Gleaming the Cube, not a good movie.
No. Neither was Pump Up the Volume.
Whatever happened to freaking Christian Slater? It seemed like one day he was like on top of the world. Next, it was just like
he went to prison, didn't he?
Did he?
What?
Yeah, like when Hard Rain, wasn't that the movie?
He did go to prison.
Yeah, he went to prison for a while. He couldn't do the promotion for that movie.
For drugs or something.
What did he go for? He went to prison for drugs?
I think it was something like that. Pot.
Okay, I need to fact check this because we're potentially defaming someone.
Allegedly.
I mean, prison is like a stronger word than jail. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you, I heard a story about him recently, though. Recently, like a year ago on Howard Stern, I guess he was at a party in the Hamptons and Steve-O was there. And Steve-O was relating the story that when Christian Slater gets drunk, he gets super gay and just constantly was trying to make out and hit on Steve-O. And then eventually he ended up on the roof of the building and the cops – he wouldn't come down and the cops got called and they had to taser him off the roof of the building. And he fell down in the bushes, got up and ran into the woods and disappeared. And Steve-O called his wife and was like, I don't know what to tell you, but your husband is off in the woods somewhere and the cops can't find him. And she goes – yeah, he does that when he gets really drunk. He probably also got super gay with you, right? And he was like, yeah, kind of. And she goes, yeah, he does that too.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. That's me paraphrasing a story from Steve-O.
What was Christian Slater's big movie?
Big Cuffs.
Robin Hood?
His big movie?
He did a bunch of movies.
Heathers was his breakout movie.
I'd say, what did he get famous for? I guess
Pump Up the Volume was a popular movie in the time. Yeah. What else was he in?
I mean, why do we still know his name?
Like Interview with a Vampire. Was that the last?
Oh, that's right. He was the guy interviewing Tom Cruise, right?
I guess you're going to have to IMDb Christian Slater.
Yeah, I'm having to look this up. Hold on. Yeah, I forgot about that he was in Interview with a Vampire.
I think that was like his last sort of thing. And it's like I feel like I didn't see him again.
Did you know Emilio Estevez was in the first Mission Impossible movie?
Yes.
I completely
he
forgot
died,
about that.
He died like in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah, and his character's name was Jack, too, which was awesome. Yeah. It was on.
Is he a friend of yours now?
He is, totally. We're BFFs.
You guys are buddies?
No, it was on the other day, like on TBS or something. I was like, oh shit, I forgot Emilio Estevez was in this.
Yeah, he wasn't in it for very long.
Gordon Bombay got killed by an elevator.
What do you got going on there, Gus?
Okay, he was arrested by Los Angeles police and charged with 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon and 1 count of battery in 1997.
Wow, we really underplayed that. We were all like, well, I think maybe maybe he like parked bad. No, assault with a deadly weapon.
I'm not going to comment further because that's all it says. But
wow, we can speculate all over the place.
What would you say his biggest movie is in there, Gus?
Broken Arrow.
Oh, Broken Arrow.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Arrow. He was on a couple episodes of The West Wing. Hollow Man 2.
You're going to have to go back. You're going the wrong way.
Yeah. Oh, he was on that My Own Worst Enemy TV show.
I don't
remember?
Know what that is.
Oh, yeah, where he played the guy with split personalities.
Yeah, that was a big deal. And it lasted 9 episodes, it looks like.
You need to roll
back. I'm going to Wind Talkers.
That was John Woo, I think.
I think it was. Hard Rain. Austin Powers, uncredited.
Nice. What?
Uncredited?
Yeah, he was an easily fooled security guard.
Really?
Yep. True Romance.
Oh, True
Romance.
Yeah,
that's a big
movie.
Star Trek VI.
Dude, Patricia Arquette was at her hottest in True Romance.
Yeah.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, Pump Up the Volume, Young Guns 2.
Oh, Young Guns, yeah.
Young Guns.
The Wizard.
He was the brother in The Wizard.
Heathers, L.A. Law.
All right, so the Equalizer. Now we're getting back to
the Equalizer. I can't remember the last time I thought about that.
I mean, he's way more popular for sort. I mean, that's a good amount of credits.
Well, he
but
had
it's not,
he had those iconic teen movies in the '80s. You know, I mean, Heathers and Pump Up the Volume both were like those were like anthemic teen movies back then.
I mean, I can't believe it's that you know that's lasting though. I mean, like Anthony Michael Hall.
I don't know that it's that lasting. I don't know.
But
that
he's still around.
We're
sitting here talking about him right now. So obviously he's like still in our realm or whatever.
How did this conversation about Christian Slater start?
We were Gleaming the Cube.
Gleaming the Cube.
Oh, right.
You guys are being assholes to me. Christian Slater came out of that.
He was in that. He was in that Uwe Boll Alone in the Dark movie.
Oh yeah, you saw that,
Dr. Uwe Boll.
I saw some of it
when we went to Sundance, and you watched that.
Yeah, Griffin and I were bored one night, so we went to the movie theater, and we made it about 25 minutes in.
You went to Sundance and watched an Uwe Boll movie?
Yeah, well, there was nothing going on in Sundance wise that night. It was just like
you couldn't go to a bar and get like drunk.
Yeah, in Utah? No, you can't.
Oh God, getting drunk at a bar in Utah is like trying to like kill yourself with like a pair of scissors that aren't sharp enough.
Yeah,
it's terrible. Also, I mean. It is awful.
Joel is absolutely correct. Plus, my wife was 2 months pregnant, so it wasn't like I was drinking.
Oh,
okay,
God.
This is the last I'm going to say about it. Not to beat us over the head with it. But Christian Slater served 59 days of a 3-month sentence for the battery charge.
So about 2/3 of it. Mm-hmm.
I do remember that happened right around the time of Hard Rain. Wasn't that Morgan Freeman was in that too? Right? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like that, when you went to see that movie, I was sick. I remember I had the flu, and I was really jealous that you got to go do stuff.
Yeah, and then we left about 30 minutes in. It was so bad. What's her face was in that and played a paleontologist.
Tara Reid.
Tara Reid.
She's not scientist material. God. Lovely lady, I'm sure, in person.
It's funny when it gets to the point that sort of the public figures out who you are enough where it's like, well, you just can't play this role.
Yeah.
You know,
which is most roles for her, I think. You have to play a veterinarian? No.
It's just not viable.
Secretary? Nah, I don't know. There's typing involved.
It is like a, it's like a steam room in here.
It's a little warm.
Put another rock on the steam pile.
That actually wasn't bad. I just like to be quiet.
You guys are
see
asshole.
How long it'll go.
I'll insert some extra silence in post.
Thanks.
We'll have a 30-minute pause in the podcast.
So Saboteur comes out today. You excited about that, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm
excited. Oh, shit, is that today?
Yeah.
I'm going to go at lunch and pick it up. I tried to get it this morning, but it wasn't out at the Target.
Hey, what are we doing for lunch, then?
Griffin's picking me up, and we're going to go get Saboteur. Do you want to go?
Where are we
going to
eat?
We had talked about going to P. Terry's, but we also talked about just going on a Jackalope after we go get Saboteur, so we'll see. Mm. And so what do you want to do, Gus?
I don't know. It all sounds good.
It's your first day back in Austin after your trip to the frozen tundra.
God.
You guys,
we saw a car wreck. It wasn't quite a wreck. It was so bad there that when we finally got back to the hotel, we found a restaurant in the hotel that sort of overlooks this. Gus, how would you describe this?
The hotel's on top of a hill. And to get to the hotel, which was in downtown, you had to like take this curving road that went up the hill. I think that's a good way to put it, Joel.
Yeah, right. And we just sat there and watched cars crash into each other for 3 hours.
I saw a cop car trying to go up the hill, lose it, and start spinning around coming down the hill and hit the guardrail.
And it was like sort of the same pattern every time where it's like you have some cars come, one car at the front of the group gets stuck, all bets are off. You know? Then it's like, that's it, chaos. And then eventually, after about an hour, it all works itself through, and then a whole fresh new batch of cars comes, and they're not aware of that spot on the ice. Like, here they come.
You guys made it up the hill, right?
Yeah, well, it's not often I'm going to say this, but I have to thank Joel here. When I initially booked our travel, I had booked us like a Ford Focus or something.
Ooh.
What?
We would be dead right now.
And then Joel was like, did you get a four-wheel drive vehicle for that trip? And I was like, I didn't, but you know what? That's probably a good idea.
You get a John Deere for that trip or something.
Did you guys have snow tires?
No, we had like a Chevy Trailblazer or something with four-wheel drive, and we just left it in four-wheel the whole time.
Like way back to the airport, we're driving across a field, and presumably on this field there's a highway under it somewhere, but you don't really know because it's just a big giant white patch with cars going in the same direction, kind of. And that's what we were doing. And then off in the distance, we saw this pickup truck, and the pickup truck was just doing 360s, just one after the other, just spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning. And it started to slow down, it started to slow down, it started to slow down. It's like, oh, it's going to stop. And then it sped up again.
Yeah, I don't know
like
how
even
it happened.
Faster. It was like even faster than before. It was like, how out of control can you be?
That guy totally lost it.
I don't know if I can talk about this, but I was previously married to another woman before my current wife. And one time we were driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, and it was a rainy day. And she hit a patch going about 65, and we started doing 360s. And we started spinning, and we went around once. And I thought, okay, this is the road's empty. I think we'll be okay. We went around a second time. And we went around a third time, and I thought, we should be slowing down at some point. What is going on here? And I was like, why are we still spinning? And she's like, I don't know. And I looked down, and she fucking floored it. Like, her response to going into a spin was to fucking nail it. And so I realized we were actually accelerating as we spun.
When you looked over to her, was she smiling?
No.
Never. That buzzing you just
Not
heard.
Even on our wedding day.
It's like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. You look over, she's turning to the devil, driving the car.
Yeah.
That buzzing you just heard, by the way, was Jeff's phone on vibrate.
Yeah.
Did you pick that up?
Yeah. No, I didn't. What?
No. Did you pick it up on the mics?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, wow.
We'll see.
Okay.
Anyway, so it's like maybe this guy had that same problem where like as his first fucking response to going into a 360
would be trying
to go faster.
How do you live in an environment like that and not have some sort of fundamental understanding?
No, well, the thing was, he was spinning real fast for the first six spins, and then he slowed down and he almost stopped. He almost came to a complete stop and recovered, and then he accelerated right back up into those spins again. Maybe he probably made like 10 360.
And none of it makes any sense. I mean, there's like a minivan right next to it, like slowly careening into him.
Did he also hit a street sign that cracked the engine block and cost me $2,000?
Is that what happened with your 360?
That's how we
stopped. Come to think of it, that driver did look familiar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now I'm mad. 10 years ago,
and
I'm pissed.
When we first saw that truck, it was like a dot. And I'm like, Gus, hit the brakes, Gus. He's like, I'm trying. We just kept.
I was hitting the brakes.
It's like we're going into the spinning truck.
So let me ask you guys a question. You guys were up in this
tundra-y
Canadian town, right?
Uh-huh.
Doing some shit for Rooster Teeth. And why would somebody live there?
You know, that it's funny because I watched the local weather that night, and it had like sort of a guy in front of a map, and the map is like -1, -4, 0, 0. And it's just like, hey, we're going to go interview some people now. And it's like, well, I guess we live here. I mean, just defeated, just defeated, broken people. And it's like, it's almost like they like would forget the year past. Like, how do you not understand? I mean, you live here, right?
Yeah.
You know what it's going
to
be.
Like you just go up to them and say, listen, drive that way in 2 days. It'll be okay.
Fucked up thing was I was watching the weather that night. Also, I was watching a different channel, and they were doing the weather, and the woman was like, there's blizzard warnings all around here, and it was all places south of us. Like, we were north of the blizzards. I was like, how is that even possible?
And what's bigger than a blizzard?
Super blizzard. I mean.
Man, when they drop a winter storm warning there, it's no joke. And this storm that we there was two storms, and the second storm, and Gus just informed me that the storm continued on its way to California.
I think three people died from that storm in California.
Do you think they pray for global warming?
Oh, man.
it makes sense
outside
now, right?
Outside the aerosol cans, funding, just spray them into the air.
Just funding, like, industrial companies. Makes total sense.
Well, anyway, you guys survived, and I'm very happy to have you back.
Yeah,
it was lonely in the office without you.
I'm glad we made it back. The day we were flying and the day before we were flying, it was a lot of canceled and delayed flights.
You guys got the one clear day probably this season for...
No, it wasn't clear.
No?
No, it was not clear.
It was
a very harrowing takeoff.
Otherwise...
Because I pictured the plane accelerating down that runway, and I thought what my experience driving at 60 miles an hour was, and I thought we probably have to hit like 180, 200 before we can take off on this runway.
We're sitting on the tarmac, and it's like, maybe we should try and take a picture, try and communicate. And you look out the window, and like all you see is white. And I'm sitting there looking, oh, it's white, and kind of a wing that outstretches into white. Like, you don't see the end of the wing. And then a pair of like goggles appeared like above the wing, like behind like this gun. And then like this gun shot this green crap all over. They were de-icing the plane, apparently. But all you could see was like some dude in a truck shooting some green stuff, fluid all over. That's got to be the worst job.
Well, if it helps you guys, while you were gone, we had some weather here, too. It rained, and it was like 50.
Wow. It snowed on Friday, didn't
it? It was pretty
rough.
Yeah, and supposedly it snowed. I was in the back room making red versus blue stuff, so I didn't get to see it. But I hear it snowed.
You know, to Gus and I, that word is that's a four-letter word to us.
Well, it's that whole other meaning, like... I'm sure whatever the snow was, you're like four flakes, and you're like, oh, wow, it snowed in Texas.
The funny thing was, I was in Chicago flying up to Montreal.
That is funny.
On Thursday.
Don't stop.
You,
don't
man.
Stop. No. Dude, come on, dude. I'm fucking.
You can see these.
I'm just going to stop talking. What?
Jack is starting to
Jack,
have that.
Jack, don't leave us hanging. Come on.
Jack is starting to have
Jack,
that like
Jack,
defeated
Jack,
look at the guy in the weather channel.
Yeah, like this is my lot in life. That's
come
it.
Come on, dude. Spray your.
I will never be happy from now on.
Goo,
as long as I'm with
on.
You guys. Jesus Christ!
God, that was hilarious.
Fuck you.
Anyway, the funny thing was that you were in Chicago.
So I flew to Chicago on Thursday, and when I got to Chicago, it was snowing, and I missed the snow in Austin, but I saw snow in Chicago the day before it snowed in Austin. Okay. And I haven't seen snow in probably, when was the last time it snowed in Austin? 10 years ago?
97?
So 12 years ago.
I remember, I was there. I was here. I was here.
No. It snowed like real late at night sometime like 2002 or 3, I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I was living off Far West, and we went and built a snowman at like 4 a.m. and put it in the middle of the road. And then a truck hit it. It was awesome. And then a cop showed up, and he was like, "Hey, don't make snowmen.
Nothing funny
anymore.
About snow snowmen homicide.
Illegal." Congratulations, podcast audience! You got to listen to all of our awesome weather stories.
Yeah.
You now know the history of snow in Texas.
Thanks, Jack.
You're welcome. Wait, what? Why is that my fault?
So Bernie and Matt are out of town.
Yeah, they are.
I had to transition away from weather.
I like
they're
it.
They're in Seattle. They're at the Nerd Child's Play. Is that tonight? Child's Play.
They're at the auction.
It was Tuesday night.
No, it was
tonight. Last night.
No, it's tonight.
Wait,
what's today?
Tonight is Tuesday.
Yeah, tonight's Tuesday. That's what I fucking said.
It's Tuesday, yeah.
You said it was Tuesday night.
Because the podcast comes out on Wednesday.
It's true.
That's true.
It's like a little subterfuge. We pretend like we're talking on Wednesday, but we're usually talking on Tuesday.
Thanks, though, Jack.
I'm so confused now.
Yeah.
The charity dinner was last night, Jeff.
Oh, great. I wonder how it went. I haven't talked to them.
Yeah, me either. They must have bought much stuff. I hear that there was a record donation this year.
Hey, Gus, do you want to go to lunch at the Roaring Fork? They have great Wednesday specials.
Yes, Wednesday is the best day for lunch at the Roaring Fork.
Fantastic.
That is today.
Fuck you!
Do you get it now, Jack? Is it clear? Do you understand me?
Oh, my God.
So...
We're going to have to get you, like...
Anyway, regardless...
Am I going to Target today?
Bernie and Matt are out of town.
Jack, we have to get you, like, some sort of, like, safety hat or something.
Yeah.
Some sort of, like, protective device.
Just give me a hammer so I can throw.
Poor Jack. Okay.
What else is happening?
So have you seen that Lost commercial? The chessboard one?
No. Is it good?
It's very, very good. Actually, Damon Cuse, one of the producers, said it's the best Lost advertisement he's ever seen. And he had no hand in it. Basically, for the season 6 of Lost...
Is he saying everything that he is involved with sucks?
He's saying it's not as good. Not necessarily sucks, it's not as good. For season 6 of Lost, ABC and I guess J.J. Abrams, whoever else, asked that they do not release any footage or stills or anything just to keep everything super secret. So these production companies are having to make trailers and commercials based on older stuff. And so some Spanish, I want to say it was Spanish, TV station made a Lost ad, and it's like set up, it's someone reading a poem, and it's talking about chessboard and how all the pieces are in place for the final moves, and it's really, really cool, and you have to watch the video to check it out, but I really dug it, and it's, you know, it's cool advertising.
That sounds like something I'll have to link dump.
It does. You like that?
Yes.
Fantastic.
That means I get to watch it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm excited about Lost now. Especially now that Project Runway's over. I know, I'm the only one in the office that watches Project Runway.
Is Heidi Klum still hot?
She's so hot, dude. She's so hot.
Heidi Klum Seal, or whatever her last name is now.
So
Heidi
hot.
Klum Seal.
It's sort of weird, though, because that show, it's like they have Heidi Klum, who's super hot, and then they bring in some chicks that are not as hot as Heidi Klum.
No, nobody holds a candle.
Yeah, so it's sort of like... How can any of these people win this contest? You should just give it to Heidi Klum every time, right?
she's not a designer.
She's the reigning champion, right?
At the end of the show, they should just keep crowning Heidi Klum. He won!
She already won. The day she was born.
We all won, Jeff.
So Jack and I were having a conversation, Gus, yesterday.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. It was about weather and airports.
And about how bad Tuesday sucked.
Jack met a cop. No, we were talking about what we were going to do in January when all of the AAA titles are all gone.
So I thought January, February, March were going to be slow months, so we could cool off and maybe pick up some of the older games and go back and start to fill out.
Boy, so did I.
Oh my God!
Not the case.
How many big AAA titles between January and February are there?
It depends. In January alone, depending on what you classify Dark Void, there are 4 or 5 AAA titles. That's fucking nuts.
That's
dude.
More than December.
It's more than December. It's a lot more than December. December just had Saboteur. But yeah, January has like Dark Void, Bayonetta, Mass Effect 2,
Mass Effect.
Army of 2, and...
Is Battlefield coming out?
No, it's
a little bit later.
And another one. What's the other one, Joel? What's the other one?
Don't forget on the PS3, Mag.
Mag is coming out. Oh, Darksiders as well.
Yeah, Darksiders.
And then February has Battlefield 2... It has
BioShock 2.
BioShock 2. It has fucking Splinter Cell.
Splinter Cell Conviction.
Which is going to be fantastic.
Once again, don't forget the PS3. You got Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah, I don't know. Does anybody give a shit about Gran Turismo?
It's to the point where I have a freaking flowchart sitting on my desk.
Yeah, you do.
Now, if I have a flowchart sitting on my desk, that's not...
There's like a AAA release every week until April, I think. It seems like.
Yeah.
When Red Dead Redemption comes out, which is fucking awesome.
That game is going to be so badass.
Super excited for
that. We saw the behind the closed doors thing at PAX for Red Dead Redemption, and holy shit, that blew us away. I'm very, very much looking forward to it.
I agree.
Mass Effect 2, Bioshock 2, Bad Company. Oh, God of War 3 comes out in April.
Oh, right, God of War 3, that's a big one.
What are you guys hearing about Bad Company 2?
Dante's Inferno as well.
Dante's Inferno, that's going to be very cool.
We played Bad Company 2 at Comic-Con.
It's more bleak than the first one. The first one was stylized and kind of humorous, and this one, it looks like it's like, you know, like modern combat style.
Yeah, it was fun.
AVP is coming out as well.
Oh. Well.
And Blur, which is supposed to be pretty big.
Speaking of AVP, did anyone pick up Avatar?
The game?
Yeah.
No, it didn't get very good reviews. Last Planet 2.
Wait a minute.
Champions
a video
Online.
Game based on a movie.
I'm still going.
No, would you play Avatar based, like, would you play the Avatar game to, or would that spoil your view for the movie?
I'm sure it has nothing
Final
to do with
Fantasy
the movie.
13 as well, guys. I'm still going.
When does that come out?
Comes out March 9th.
Gus, are you into Final Fantasy?
I used to be.
Jeff and I talked about it.
Just Cause 2.
Because we figured that might be a good game for you to do for the site.
I can play it. I'll fight Final Fantasy.
He doesn't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Anyway, a bunch of fucking games. Skate 3 is in there as well, I think.
Skate 3 is in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
That's going to be very, very cool, too.
I feel like games that came out in November, I haven't had a chance to really play.
Dude, I still haven't beaten ODST on Legendary. I'm so fucking far behind.
Dude,
I'm still behind from September.
Have you even played any Left 4 Dead 2 multiplayer yet?
Yeah, I played two games.
I haven't played Left 4 Dead 2 at all. I haven't touched it yet.
That's depressing for me. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Left 4 Dead 2 is awesome, by the way.
Yeah. Really,
you got to play that game.
To give an idea, I'm still catching up on, I'm trying to catch up on older stuff to make room for the new stuff. I just 200-pointed Battlefield 1943 yesterday.
Oh, you finished it?
I finished it finally.
Wow. Nice.
That 100 games was a fucking
You mean you did it 2 days ago?
Nice way to get him, Jack. Fucking turned it around.
Yeah, what's up?
I never said what day it was. I just said yesterday.
Yesterday could be Monday, that's right. It could be Sunday.
It could be fucking Wednesday.
Oh, shit.
The SmackDown.
My date's a relative, bitch.
Is that a new t-shirt?
Yeah, that's a t-shirt right there.
Anyway, yeah.
That shirt could be misconstrued in the South.
It's true.
My dates are relatives. See what I'm going there?
Good stuff.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Oh, hey.
Wow.
Hey, how many people bought the Drunk Tank shirt? We should plug that some more.
16,000.
Nice.
And we only made four, so.
And three of them are in this room right now.
I don't have a Drunk Tank shirt. I need one, I guess.
Yeah, I don't have one either, actually.
No?
No. Zombie Plan is the big shirt. That's what everybody's buying. Yeah. That's what all the kids want.
Good.
Yeah.
For Christmas,
it's
I
doing
hear.
Really well.
Or other holiday gift-giving opportunities.
Yeah, or just to show somebody that you love them.
Yeah.
Show you care with a t-shirt.
You don't need a corporate endorsed holiday.
If I bought a shirt now, would I get it in time for Christmas?
Oh, come on.
I don't know.
Yes, okay. You would.
When is the last day people can order from our store?
Do you want to know for sure? Because I can look it up.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Give me a couple
seconds. This is the Drunk Tank sells out portion of the podcast. Yeah.
This portion of the podcast brought to you by the Rooster Teeth store.
I think the SEC mandates that we disclose that we get compensation for this part of the podcast.
How's that trademark thing going, by the way? Anyone following that?
No, we're not following that.
Why not?
Please don't bring that up anymore. We don't want to get involved.
Don't want to get involved.
I don't want to spend time in court.
We just want to make fucking dick jokes on the internet.
Yeah, I just want to make content.
Okay, standard shipping. Order by 2 p.m. Central Standard Time on December 17th, and you can still get your orders in time. And then there are a myriad of shipping options that we provide in our store, but the absolute latest is if you do UPS Next Day Air, you can order as late as 2 p.m. and receive it on the 23rd of December.
You can order 2 p.m.
one day, yeah.
You know what?
I'm sorry. 2 p.m. On the 23rd, and you can receive it by the 23rd.
Wow. So 2 p.m. Central Time on the 23rd.
Yeah.
And
that's the last absolute, that's your cutoff from ordering and getting your shit.
That's like the big boys. We're like Amazon. I bet you can't order much later from them either.
No. We're better than Amazon.
Yeah, we're
actually.
Better.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I got to say that also, if this company happens to perhaps maybe send out an email to you, and there might be a small error in that email. Don't write.
Someone didn't listen to last
somebody
week's
didn't
podcast.
Listen to last week's podcast.
I did not listen to last week's podcast.
Whenever I'm not in a podcast, I listen to it.
That was covered for about 30 exhaustive, painful minutes.
Oh, it was? What happened with that?
And then also, thanks to everybody who sent the fucking emails to say, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, that
I listened to the podcast. Ha, ha, ha.
It killed me.
So you're still getting those emails?
Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, I am still getting the emails.
Nice.
And so am I.
Why would you get them?
I don't know.
Are you really getting him?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you shouldn't be on the list.
How do I get off of it?
If only we... I don't think anybody in the company can do that.
I should start doing that. When people piss me off at this place, I should start signing them up for our high-volume email addresses.
Put them on friends at Rooster Teeth.
Man.
Oh, speaking of which, I should make a plug before I forget. We're starting to actually run a little bit low on podcast theme songs. So if anyone wants to submit one, feel free to.
And God forbid, don't make us have to make our own.
Email it to podcast@roosterteeth.com.
It won't be good. When you say you're low, you're down to how many right now?
I don't know. I'd have to look, but I'm probably down to like 40.
So you're down. You're low on quality ones, is what you're saying.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Well, actually, no. All told, I'm probably down to, like, counting all of them, 160 or so. But usable ones, I might be down to like 20.
Hey, while we're speaking of current video
games... So make a good one and send me a good one.
Send what would they send it if they were going to make
Podcast@roosterteeth.com.
Okay.
That's what he said earlier. Since we're talking about current video games, last night you came over to my house, Gus, mm-hmm. and borrowed Fable 2. How's that going?
Well, when I was...
You and your wife started playing it.
Yeah, when I was gone out of town, you know, you and Griffin played Fable 2 a lot. You know, my wife saw, I guess she read your journals and your Twitter or whatever, and so she wanted to try it. So I figured since I was going out of town for a few days, she could play it, and she loved it, and she played the hell out of it the whole time I was gone. And so I went over to borrow your copy so we could play co-op on two boxes last night, and I hated it.
Really?
I don't like the lack of camera control in co-op, and I don't like that you can't both be heroes.
It is the game's downfall, the lack of camera control. The hero thing doesn't matter to me because you have to be a henchman for the other person, but you still get experience, and you still get money, and you still get all the achievements. So.
Yeah, but you're not playing your character, though. It's like...
What does that matter?
So the achievement thing has worked out if you're playing with two people. And
I got 100% of the achievements in Fable 2 playing as a henchman for a griffin.
Huh.
Like, every achievement title is like, amass a fortune of $2.5 million or see a hero do it. So as long as you're there, when they do it, you get it.
Oh, man, I still have like painful memories from like Guitar Hero where you have like two people and it's like it only doles out achievements to one person. God, fix that.
I just went through that because Griffin and I finished Fable 2 and we wanted to play another game together because it was such an enriching marital experience. And so I started looking around and Tales of Asperia was an RPG that's highly touted. And nowhere on the internet could I find anyone saying that both players couldn't get achievements. And so I bought it. And I had to buy it on Amazon because I wasn't able to find it anywhere. And started playing it. Played about an hour and realized an hour in that only player one gets the achievements.
Yeah, that sucks.
Is Griffin so concerned about achievements that she wouldn't just let you get the achievements?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, she's into it.
Oh, that's cool.
She's into it. How
was your Amazon experience, Jeff?
It was fine.
Oh,
totally fine.
When my wife and I were going to play Fable last night, I had to upgrade her Xbox account to a gold account.
Uh-huh.
So I asked her, you know, what do you want your gamer tag to be? And we were going through that process. She's like, make my gamer tag Santos El Halper.
Santos El Halper?
Nice.
It's got to be Bart Simpson's dog.
Right. Well, Santos El Halper is the name on the credit card that Bart gets. And no, Santos El Halper was taken.
Had to be.
That's the Laddie episode.
Yeah.
Which is also the episode where all the cops smoke pot at the end.
Yeah.
Listen to Bob Marley. That's good episode.
So when you talk about the co-op camera controls, what do you mean by that? I haven't played Fable 2 at all.
I guess the game figures out where the camera should be and moves the camera around. So like normally with most games, you know, you can move right stick around to look around.
Yeah,
you can't do that when you're playing co-op.
You can do that.
No, you can't.
Yeah, you can.
No, right stick is non-functional.
You know what game?
That's not true. You can also push in on right. You can also hit left. Bumper.
You can hit left bumper to recenter the camera, but you cannot move the camera with the
left
stick.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. But left bumper does...
Yeah, no, that's why I said right stick doesn't work. I didn't say anything about left bumper.
Yeah, but left bumper does the job of right stick.
Left bumper recenters the camera. Right stick lets you look around freely. Left bumper
right stick doesn't let you move around freely, is what you're trying to say.
It's two different functions. It's either like a centering or a free look. Yeah, I get centering with left bumper, but I don't get to free look.
Is that the case in local co-op as well in the same box?
I didn't play local co-op.
See,
so
I didn't have that problem. Mm. And that might be a limitation.
Gus, did you feel that instantly when you got in the game?
Yeah.
You felt it instantly.
I instantly started trying to look around and I couldn't.
And it just, okay, so it's got to be like walking around with no arms or something.
Single box co-op, you can right stick works.
A large jump I made.
Like, I don't understand that problem because we didn't have that problem because
right
we played on the same box.
And I don't understand why they wouldn't allow you to do that if you're on two different boxes and presumably playing over live.
I don't know.
You know, you should be able to move your camera and not have it affect the other person.
You guys should just play same box anyway.
Yeah, it's easier.
You know what game has a really interesting way they do the co-op camera? All the Lego games, like Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Star Wars, stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you get far enough away, it splits the screen, and then when you get closer together, it reconnects it. It's really a cool way of doing it. If you haven't seen it,
that wasn't in the first instances. Of
no,
the Lego
it wasn't.
Games,
that's
right?
I know it's in Indiana Jones too because I just cut that video for Bernie.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Those Lego guys, they have got to like. I guess it appeals to kids, but I don't know how you go through a level 50 times and get
those are some tough fucking achievements.
Yeah, the
not tough, just time consuming.
Like, I mean, yeah,
you have to beat the story mission. Like I edited a video for Bernie for Lego Indiana Jones 2, him and his son did, and there are 90 levels in the game, 90 stages in the game, and to get an achievement, you have to beat through all 90. And then to get another achievement, you have to beat all of the first levels, or like, so 30 levels in quick play mode. So you have to play 120 levels to get those two achievements.
It's almost just like worse in Star Wars The Complete Saga.
Really? Yeah.
They almost have a franchise where it's like, why don't you just program the next version of Lego whatever, and it will give you some achievements.
Yeah. It's fucking, it's rough.
That's intense, man.
They're time consuming.
Well, I guess, I mean,
and Bernie's got 1,000 points on all of them.
Well, I guess, wow. You know, kids can sit down and do that, just play a game over and over and over again. I guess we've sort of hit that point where just that sort of repetitiveness will drive us nuts.
And you know? I mean, there's also so many games out there that I'd like to, like, get a chance to play, you know, and if
that's
you, like,
true.
Bury yourself, it's like, there's so many games I haven't even touched.
It's a problem. There's too many games out, and you just can't devote the time to, if you want to play every game. I guess most people just don't play every game.
What an interesting problem we have now, right? Because it's like, no, but it's like, you know, you go back 20 years or whatever, and it's just like the opposite problem. Now,
you'd
just
pray
like,
for a
so
Mario
much,
game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man, what? Speaking of entertainment, I went to see Fantastic Mr. Fox on Sunday.
Oh, how was it?
I have absolutely loved every Wes Anderson movie, including Darjeeling Limited, which some people didn't like.
What about that MasterCard commercial?
It was fantastic. I loved his MasterCard commercials. I really did. I thought they were funny. And I can't recommend Fantastic Mr. Fox. Not as a kid's movie, for sure.
Wow.
It's kind of slow and stilted, and there's not a lot there for kids, aside from the visuals. And the visuals, once you get used to them, it's like there's not much to see. There's some funny moments, but it borders on, like, self-indulgent. I don't know how else to describe it.
That's all Wes Anderson movies, though.
This one's, it's like on a different level. I don't know how to describe it. I get into that. I buy his aesthetic, and so it doesn't bother me, but somehow it just felt...
Yeah, I haven't really had the desire to go watch it.
Yeah, I really wanted to like it, too.
That's got to be one of the worst criticisms, I think, that you can receive is, like, self-indulgent. That's not good.
Yeah, and
especially, like, if from a director.
But. And maybe other people would disagree with that. It's just, like, I don't know, you know? Like, it's a problem I have with David Lynch, too, where, like, a director gets caught up in their own aesthetic.
Yeah.
And it happens with auteurs a lot. And they it's cool, and they've got something really impressive and awesome to show.
It's the Tim Burton disease.
Yeah, it's the Tim Burton thing, right? But then they just, like, it just seems like they narrow and narrow and narrow it down until it's, like, it's now just that style and all the substance is gone. I definitely feel that's happened with David Lynch over the years, and I'm starting to get that sense from from Fantastic Mr. Fox.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's like the sets, and it's impressive from a visual standpoint that he's able to make stop motion tiny sets. But these are stop motion tiny sets that look like they would have been in Royal Tenenbaums, or look like they would have been, you know, in Life Aquatic, or look like they could have been in. And it, like, it just, it's all feels the same.
That ship in Life Aquatic was so cool.
Yeah, they do that in this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's like it gets past the point where it's like, all right, this is just kind of like his cool thing that he does. To the point where it's like, this guy is obsessed and he's not going to do anything different or show us anything new. And I just feel like I'm watching recycled visuals over and over again. And it's just kind of like, and then also it was just like his odd, quirky dialogue and pacing, which works really well in live action. Not so much for a kids movie.
I bet he's crying right now.
I hope not. I really like the guy.
Or to cancel Wes Anderson for the podcast
next
week.
No, I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan. I just didn't. Like, maybe I would have liked it differently if I didn't have a kid with me, but Millie was bored 20 minutes in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And, like, watching Meryl Streep and George Clooney talk is not fun for a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Speaking of movies, when I was flying back from, you know, on this trip from the Chicago to Austin leg, I was looking through, like, the, we were flying American Airlines, and I was looking through, like, the American Airlines magazine that they have on the plane.
Yeah.
And they kept talking about this George Clooney movie, like, called Up in the Air, that was coming out. And I thought, God, I wonder why they're talking about this movie so much. They're like, halfway into the magazine, I realized that George Clooney plays a frequent flyer who flies only American Airlines. It has, like, 10 million frequent flyer miles.
Yeah.
So, like, the whole thing was just, like, I guess one big ad for that.
Wow,
for
so
that.
That's the story of us.
Well, we gave up on just American Airlines a long time ago. Now we fly whatever's fastest. But apparently Up in the Air is a really good movie. It's getting really good reviews.
So here, it was Jason Reitman was the director.
Yeah.
Is that Ivan's brother?
Yeah.
Son, I believe.
Idiot.
You don't know who Jason Reitman is?
Oh, man, the fucking tension.
What else has he directed? I'm sure I've seen his other stuff.
He directed,
the name is very, very familiar.
Thank You for Smoking.
Okay.
He also directed...
Did you guys see that?
Thank You for Smoking? Yeah.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Very I loved good.
It. He directed something else, but I can't think of it right now. Internet.
No, Aaron Eckhart was awesome in Thank You for Smoking.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was.
And so was David Koechner. Was really, or David Koechner, is that right?
Didn't Jason Reitman win an Academy Award?
Did he?
Really?
I think so.
Huh.
For the movie Gus is about to look up right now. That's a very popular movie.
IMDb is getting worked out today.
He directed Juno.
Yeah, you guys haven't.
That's right.
Up on Juno. Yeah.
He also directed 2 episodes of The Office.
Yes, he did.
Juno, that movie, it's polarizing.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
I couldn't. I guess I didn't see the ending, so I don't know. I couldn't get through it.
Dialogue in that movie. If you're talking about self-indulgent,
I didn't believe the main character.
No,
does
not
that make
at all.
Sense? I mean, it's like if you've lived life and you've been around, that character doesn't.
It was like a 16-year-old girl wrote that character's dialogue. Mm-hmm. You know, like, oh, this is what cool kids sound like.
And whoever said he won an Oscar, no, he didn't win, but he was nominated.
Nominated, okay.
What was he nominated for? Juno?
I'm trying to pull it up. It's slow.
That's what she said.
Best Achievement in Directing, Juno.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Nominated.
What are the Oscar nominations coming out? Anyone know?
They come out in January, don't
January,
they?
January, I think. Right.
Yeah.
They moved it forward, I remember, because they kept pushing it back further, and they finally kind of said, no, let's go the other way.
Oh, he won something at the Austin Film Festival. Short Film Award.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For In God We Trust.
In God We Trust.
Not what other movies are coming out? We've got Avatar's coming out next Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sherlock Holmes comes out Christmas Day.
Did anyone see 2012?
No.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
How was it?
That was horrible. That movie could be cut down to a 20-minute movie. That would be awesome. But it's a 2.5-hour long movie.
You just described every Roland Emmerich movie.
Pretty much. I mean, like, you know, the animators had a field day with that. Like, okay, we need you to blow up Las Vegas by, you know, an earthquake and sandstorm. Okay.
Spoiler alert. Jeez.
it's in the trailer. Come on now.
Oh, no, I'm ruined.
It's like, that whole movie is, thank God we weren't standing where we were 10 seconds ago. Like, that's the whole movie. Like,
God, we weren't standing where we were 10 seconds ago. I feel that way all the time.
I mean, literally, it's like, anyway. God. And John Cusack as an action hero doesn't work.
Gene.
Maybe you've never seen a little movie called The Rock, which he wasn't in. I was thinking of Con Air. Those movies are interchangeable to me.
Everyone just gave Jeff this look. I was like,
but
come on, you got to admit, The Rock and Con Air, you can't separate the two.
I don't know. I think The Rock is better than Con Air. I think The Rock is a lot better than Con Air.
Yeah,
was John Cusack good in
Con Air?
Yeah, was he?
He's fucking awesome, dude.
He destroyed that guy's car. Cole Meany was in that movie.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
God, that was, yeah, Danny Trejo, John Malkovich was in that.
Buscemi
was in
Buscemi.
It.
Mm-hmm. So,
no, The Rock was so much better, though.
Then neither of them were good, though.
I think The Rock was good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think The Rock is Michael Bay's best movie.
What?
Yes. What's better?
Bad Boys 2.
Shit. Okay, you might have me there. I don't know. I would say they're even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to go back and watch The Rock.
God, Sean Connery's so good in The Rock.
He's good in everything.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I wouldn't say that.
Name a bad Sean Connery movie.
Finding Forrester.
I haven't seen it.
That's why.
Well, come on. That movie launched a meme. Launched the whole internet
It scene. Launched a very popular website.
I wonder if people who go to You're the Man Now, Dog...
Have any idea
that that's from a movie and it's a Sean Connery line.
I don't know. It's funny about that is that we were all quoting that from the trailer well before that. Like, that was destined for greatness.
Do you know Ain't It Cool News got its name from Broken Arrow? Going back to Christian Slater?
Did it?
Yeah, because at one point, John Travolta says, yeah, ain't it cool? Like, that was in the trailer. It was his big
Oh,
line.
Yeah, I remember that.
And that's where Ain't It Cool News came from.
I didn't know that.
Huh.
I didn't realize that Broken Hour came out before Ain't It Cool News existed. That seems weird to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far as, like, the official website, that was, like,
how old is Ain't It Cool?
12 years old?
Wow.
Yeah, so what, Broken Hour came out, like, in 97, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
Wow.
So, Ain't It Cool's about to hit puberty.
No. Not at all.
Well, good for them.
Hey, I'm going to Butnumathon this weekend. I'm excited.
Any idea what you're going to see? Avatar?
Hopefully Avatar. Hopefully Sherlock Holmes. One movie that I started thinking about that we might see is Kick-Ass. The new, Matthew Vaughn, I think, did it?
Yeah.
Which is the superhero, like, in real life movie, which looks badass.
Supposedly a very good comic. I've never read it, but people seem to really like it.
But I mean, like the trailer is pretty fucking funny, and it's like this is a perfect audience for Buttonumathon because it's like the super nerds, and so I wouldn't be shocked if we see it. And Joel just touched my foot, by the way.
Dude, my foot is in love with your foot, Jack.
All right. So we have anything else we want to talk about, or should we wrap it up a little early and go buy Saboteur?
I think that sounds awesome.
You know, there's DLC for Saboteur to add nudity to the game.
Yeah, on day one.
Is it's there? Awesome.
Yeah.
Is it? You have to pay for it?
No, it's free in the box, but it's one of those things that comes with the game, and as soon as you use it once, it's gone. So
if you buy the game used, do you have to pay for nudity in the
probably.
Game?
Probably.
It's 480 points, I think, if you want to buy it, if you buy the game and don't get the code. Huh. That's how they're trying to combat digital downloads.
I have no issue with that.
They're trying to combat, I think, secondhand sale.
Secondhand sale. And then also to preserve that out-of-the-box experience, right? Yeah. But I don't think it's happening a lot, and I'm totally fine with it.
I don't think they're trying to fight digital downloads. I think they're trying to fight that secondhand gaming thing.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, shit. Let's go get some digital titties.
Get some digital lap dances?
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.